Mississippi KBFI.
Hey everybody, my name is Barbara and you are welcome in this place. As promised, we're going to get into the details of the pros and the cons of ARPA, ARPA funding coming into Idaho and coming into Bonner County, keeping you informed so you can decide what you think about all this. Here to help us sort it all out is County Commissioner Jeff Conley and Community Representative Kendra Martin. We're going to spend about half our time today on this funding issue, and then we're going to turn our attention to other county business like the ice rink and Camp Bay and some other items on our commissioner's agenda. So keep it right here for information you need, and we're going to be right back.
Live comedy returns to the Panetta Theater in Sandpoint on Saturday, February 12th with Philip Kupczynski and friends.
I'm originally from a town of 400 people. That's small. You can't get mad at someone for hitting on your wife in a town that small. Because that dude might be the only person who can fix your car, man.
See comedian Philip Kupczynski with special guests live on stage at Sandpoint's Panetta Theater Saturday, February 12th. Doors open at 7:30 with show at 8. Tickets are just $20 in advance, $25 at the door.
Because we get tricked into doing stuff we don't have to do. I got tricked into coaching my kids' second grade basketball team. Nobody wants that job. Nobody wants that job. If there's a guy who's like, I'll do it. I'm just saying, double check and make sure that that guy brought a kid, okay?
For tickets, go to Panetta.org.
North Idaho's radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. As promised, Jeff Conley in the studio today, County Commissioner Kendra Martin, a community representative, also here in the studio with us. So I want to begin, you guys, with defining the American Rescue Plan Act funds. So we have lots of listeners out there that don't know what it is. They don't know what we're talking about, what the monies are. Jeff, I'll start with you. Give people a little orientation about what ARPA money is.
So yeah, it's the American Rescue Plan Act. And what it does is it gives each entity a certain amount of money depending on population. So Bonner County has received $4.4 million to this date. And there'll be a second infusion of $4.4 million. So for a total of $8.8 million, which is a large chunk of money coming from the federal government. I've been in the middle of this kind of argument with the folks that have been coming to our meetings trying to explain, you know, what I think we should be doing with these funds and what I would love to see done with these funds, because this is money that is beyond our budget, which we can put in and spend on one time. And I think it's important to look at a way to try to make that happen.
Okay. You know, another thing is that this money, the word rescue is in the title. It's a response. The government has the federal government. It's federal money, which means it's our tax money. I think that this is going to help in some kind of recovery from this whole COVID-19 mess. Kendra, what would you say about defining ARPA? How do you define it?
If you use the word rescue, it doesn't really apply here because we're really in a net. There are so many rabbit holes off of this document that it's so complicated. It's over 1,000 pages if you add all of the 5 to 6 documents that everybody is supposed to comprehend, know, review, and understand before they sign for the money. And when you do that, it becomes a net. There are so many traps within it. The loudest trap that everybody has been concerned about, excuse me, is executive orders. And The problem is in the offshoot documents is generally where you're going to find those executive orders, and they're a little bit scary.
Okay, I want to go to something. I was going to go to it later, but let's go to it now because this really, was something that made my eyes open up. I got this from an article, so it's not a source document, but I guess I'm trusting the source, and I'm just going to read it. It says the ARPA law reads that executive orders do not apply to state, local, or municipal governments, and ARPA funds do not change this. So I'm reading that sentence, and it's saying, ARPA, that executive orders do not apply to state, local, or municipal governments, and ARPA funds don't change that law. So, Jeff, let's take it back to you. Do executive orders apply to Bonner County? Do they apply to these funds?
So from the legal opinion that we got from the Bonner County Prosecutor's Office, that's also been reviewed by outside counsel that we have a lot of confidence in, they are saying that there's no specific executive orders that would apply to these funds. Forever, the group has really been afraid that, you know, the mandates, whether it be mask or vaccinations, would be applied to these funds. But in this document that Bill Wilson wrote, it's very good to explain, even if those were thought to be applicable in this situation, they have no effect because of it wasn't clear when the law was written from the legislation.
So the
problem is that you can't then make a bunch of rules, and we took the money, you know, or we took the first part of the money and then change, oh, hey, by the way,
add things.
There's
on
all these rules that the executive branch has come up with. So,
so Kendra,
that's the opinion.
It sounds like that's your concern. Executive orders either that are in the document now or worse, those to come. So how, I mean, does reading this that I read here, how does that square with what you have seen?
Well, I'm kind of going off of what our legislator, Sage Dixon, said three times on Saturday, which is, I would not recommend spending the money. He realized that the intensity of documents within the ARPA enclosure has been neglected in people doing the research. I have traveled from Kootenai County all the way up to Boundary County, and I have listened to a well-educated public who haven't just been reacting off of the Rule 9A, which says any applicable federal regulation and statute and executive orders. And it spells it right out. I know that was a concern for the commissioners initially.
In the ARPA wording.
In the awards terms and conditions that are signed for.
Okay.
Literally, we have a signed sheet by the treasurer of Bonner County. They were made aware of that particular document. That document's an easy one. It's only 5 pages. But when you come into like the final rule or the interim rule, those are a couple of 100-page documents, things like that. It's the expanse of documentation. It's not just the clause executive orders. There are executive orders in the guidance, right on the, I think it's the fourth page, in the guidance and reporting. There is reference, there's reference to three executive orders. One's about equity, which is my other concern.
Okay. Let's stay with executive orders. Jeff, how do you respond to that? Because it sounds like they are in there, but I was reading the opinion that executive orders don't apply to local jurisdictions.
So we didn't look at it whether they apply or don't apply. What we did do was look at the recent Supreme Court case. This is what Bill refers to as the case that came down against OSHA. And they said these don't apply. And the reason is because you can't make the rules up after and things like that. So that's what he's referring to. And everything he does in here, he refers to case law and different trials that made these decisions. So why I respect that there's a lot of people out there with a lot of time into researching this stuff. He has also looked at the 437-page final rule from the Treasury Department, you know, and there's just some highlights. You know, this is a 7-page opinion that he wrote. And, you know, it says Congress may not simply conscript the state agencies into a national bureaucratic army. So that means they can say all they want, but they can't really do that. There is no law that allows them.
A quick question, follow-up to Kendra's comment about Sage. By the way, Sage is going to be on the program, I think. I'm planning on having him next week, calling in from Boise, so I'll be able to ask him. But are you aware, Jeff, that Sage Dixon, to some extent, opposed accepting these monies, or maybe he had some reservations? Or
he didn't. I would say he didn't. I don't want to speak for Sage, but I was also at one of those town halls in Priest River, and he had some reservations after hearing some of these things that he hadn't heard, but he also hadn't seen this. So this is fresh off the press. We got it Friday. It's very important that he gets a look at this, and we'll send it to him, and he can wade through it and then make his own decision.
Send it to him and say, Barbara will ask you about this next week.
You better be prepared. So he did get a lot of those questions, and he was concerned that maybe he hadn't read everything that went along with that. But we're pretty confident in this. The firm that took a look at this, actually, that's all they do is federal legal.
All right. Stuff. So back to Kendra. Kendra, you said you had another concern about the equity of what is going on with ARPA.
Yeah, it's obviously a signed contract is a signed contract. And when it says executive orders, we need to be concerned about that because we don't want to get into a litigation battle that'll cost the county lots of money against the federal government like Arizona is in right now. However, in the guidance and reporting, it says that the spending of money has distinct goals, and it's you are required in your reporting to describe efforts to promote equitable outcome, including how programs were designed with equity in mind. Please include your description how your jurisdiction will consider and measure equity at the various stages of the program. It goes on in the guidance and reporting to mandate, well, not that mandate's a bad word these days, to demand and require that not only the recipient make these reports, but then the recipient must police the subrecipients that they also are now have made access to the system award management, SAM, federal porthole to make reports. And so the recipient now has to police the subrecipient, and the subrecipient has to police the beneficiary, and they all have to have created access to the federal portholes so that they each can make reporting, which creates a farther reach for the federal oversight of how monies are spent. But more importantly, getting back to the equitable, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence declares that we were created equal. Now, equitable is if I was born tall, you were born small, and we're at an apple tree. I can reach up and grab that apple, but you can't. Now, this is legislating.
Perfect, but I can go get a ladder, so it's all good.
But my point is, they're saying that the tall person has to go get the ladder. That's what equitable outcome is all about. So, you know, like say, for instance, Jeff, you've worked really hard for your home, and the federal government is saying you need to create equitable outcomes for your projects. And so say somebody who doesn't have the financial background or even the wherewithal to work as hard to acquire your home, equitable outcomes, it's kind of stretching the ARPA issue right now, but equitable outcomes pretty much dictates, well, then what I need to do is supplement you so that you can live in the same type of manner that I'm living in, which is Marxism, which is communism, which is socialism.
Socialism.
So we want to stay as far away from that as possible. I don't think that's what North Idaho is about.
We know that the federal government is leaning in that direction where it wants to do money, rearrange the money, take money from me and give it to other people in lots of different ways.
And ARPA facilitates that.
And
I disagree.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's, you know,
I disagree with the ARPA portion of that. The ideology behind that is probably something I don't necessarily share. Now,
I didn't know it was by population because I was just looking. Kootenai County got 32 million. Are they going to get another 32 million? That is way more than 8.8 million.
Well, yeah, it is by population.
That's what I think I said. So there is some equity because it's done by population. That's just the numbers of dollars. That's not exactly what you're
talking about, Kendra. She's reading that right. But
I'm reading it right from the compliance. I'm not reading it.
I just want to say one thing really quick.
What does it mean, though? What is that? I mean, in that definition, what does that actually mean? I think we could all come up with.
Well, it says outcome and intended outcomes focused on closing gaps, reaching universal levels of service, or aggregating progress by race, ethnicity, and other equitable dimensions where relevant for public for policy objective.
You know, I agree that the language like that is really hard to deal with, but I want to say something. This is kind of old, but like 40 years ago, I was associate director of finance in a large university campus in California. And every year we got reams of government things coming in. They changed every year on student loans and student emergency loans and Pell Grants and our budgets from the state of California. And it just on and on and on. And you had to, and I wrote grants. And I just want to say that there is just a language that you get into. And you just get into being able to present that you were equitable. You say it, you state it, you declare it, you do your best to do it, and you testify, yes, we were equitable in allocating student loans.
So would that be what Governor Ducey would say?
Who?
Governor Ducey of Arizona.
I don't know what he
received would say. $163 million for education.
Yeah.
But the other part of ARPA is also to push the vaccine and the man. It says you may, but then it incentivizes it within the final rule. It incentivizes that. And Governor Ducey took the $163 million. He injected into his school system. And then he said, we're not going to mask our kids and we're not going to vaccine our kids. So the federal compliance officer wrote him a letter and said, you have 60 days to reprogram or we will consider it a debt. And in the awards in terms, it says that
so is Arizona going to give that money back? What do you think?
It's now a federal case. Now he's suing the federal government. So does Bonner County have the money to sue when the federal government, because the federal government came directly to the county?
So vaccines and masks are in the ARPA money. I was reading more premium pay for essential. Of course, it's the short
well,
list.
Well, it isn't directly in there.
Yeah. If you look at the final rule, it's in there. It is vaccines. Laying money aside to incentivize. For instance, in the ESSER for the schools, the ESSER money for schools.
If you don't mandate vaccine, you just don't get the incentive money.
We'd have to ask Governor Ducey that. How did that work for him? He took the money and said, literally, we're not going to, which we have
can't
done.
Debate Arizona right now because I have no
have
idea what
that.
Governor
Our
Ducey
resolutions
is doing.
Have stated that the commissioner signed a resolution that basically said, we oppose masks and vaccines. Now, we have openly said that. Are we non-compliant now because we are not going to advocate
what do you
for
think,
masks
Jeff?
And vaccines?
What is your reading on this?
So I'm going to try to refocus us on Bonner County and trying to do what's the best for the people of Bonner County. I've lived here my whole life. It's a little disheartening for me to have to make an argument about doing what's best for the people of Bonner County. And I think that taking this money and spending it cautiously and making sure through our legal team that we can do it without putting ourselves in harm's way.
The way Arizona maybe.
I mean, if it is a clawback and if they make us pay that money back, then I guess so be it. I mean, if we aren't complying with their rules, but there is case law after case law, and it's all in this opinion that talks specifically about different cases that have gone the direction that, I mean, what she's saying is, I'm interpreting this document to say this. Well, I've got four lawyers that have looked at this and come up with this, and I'm confident that we can get this done and spend the money in a sensible manner and do the people of Bonner County some good.
Can I read a document from the President of the United States?
Well,
I've already read that and already heard it. But you can, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. The okay, so when it says, on March 11th, 2021, I signed the law of the American Rescue Plan, a law that will help vaccinate America and deliver immediate economic relief to hundreds of millions. He closes it with saying, this has been a long, hard time for our nation, but I believe brighter days are ahead. We are on the path to vaccinating the nation. This expresses the intent of the President of the United States when he signed the American Rescue Plan. And there is enough evidence within the 1,000 pages of documentation that express this is a major push. They even have a public workforce in an executive order already to work from the federal government down to the communities to make sure that we are definitely pushing this. They're not saying mandate, but that we are pushing it. And that is exactly what Arizona is suffering from.
Something is different than a mandate. That is, those are two different ways of
achieving.
All we
can do is look at Arizona as the example right now.
I don't want to look at Arizona. I'm not familiar with that. I'm sorry. But first of all, you know, Biden makes, I don't want to be disrespectful, but, you know, I just
this
think.
This is an IRS form, okay? So the IRS looked at it before it was sent out.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it says help. It doesn't say enforce or doesn't say
exactly.
Mandate.
Yeah, it's to push something is different than actually mandating it by law. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, I hear the concern. And I, you know, I can't help but think everyone on both sides of this argument has got to be a little bit perplexed. Because I remember sitting in a lot of meetings where we were perplexed at the language. And the only thing we could do was go to the attorneys and say, what can we do to stay out of court from whoever, whoever the institute
money.
Parties.
It's going to cost money to litigate.
To stay out of court. You're always paying attorneys for something. This is the world we live in. This is the fallen world that we live in. It is difficult. It's confusing. It's tricky. And there are people that are out there to make it even more difficult and more tricky. And honestly, you know, I think that between the two minds that are here to come to that which is healthy, I know you're saying don't take any of it.
Well, it's $184 per person if we're a 47,000 population.
It's not going to go out per person. It's going to
But my question is, can we ask the public what they want to do? We're having a workshop on the 18th of February where people can come.
I'm asking the public to day.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, the people can, you know, they can be informed. There have been articles in the paper. There are things that are going on with this. There are commissioner meetings. People can and do want to be informed. It's just, it's not going to get divided up to individual people. It's going to go for, what's it going to go for? How have we spent the money?
Yeah, so,
and then we got to close this down. I want to get to some other stuff. But how have we spent the money to date?
So, we had spent money on EMS, and that's the sheriff actually had taken, I think it was $32,000, and he gave it back, said, don't want anything to do with it. He doesn't like the strings, you know, and I respect that.
It's his department.
We hadn't got that this far.
I wonder if this will change his mind.
It may or may not, but he's elected and he can make those decisions. That's what he's been elected to do. The other thing is, though, we spent it on EMS to try to shore up some of the expenses that we've had and get some things that were needed that we couldn't put into the budget because we didn't feel like we had enough money to do that. So we've spent it there, and then now we've made a pullback. So we've paused because, you know, of Kendra and the folks that have been, you know, opposed to this, we've stopped that, and we've just said, let's hold until we can get number one this, and then we are I don't know. I think, Kendra, you may even be referring to the January 18th one that Asia actually canceled, but we're tentatively scheduling a workshop for February 16th. Now that we have this, we have to make sure that all the players can be there. So the morning of February 16th, if we can get all the players together,
so
we're going to
have a workshop. Tentatively, February 16th
and
is the next
we'll
workshop where you'll be talking about this attorney's
correct
position. And these, all of these items will come before both the public to speak on. And will the commissioners be speaking or just receiving?
The commissioners will probably guide it. I'm not sure what we would do. The chairman actually probably will have more influence on that than, you know, that's what he gets to set the, you know, the agendas for these meetings. So I'm thinking that it would be an informational thing. I don't know that there's, you know, it's, this is what we've got. And we'll have our attorney there because he wrote it. He'll be able to explain it and he'll be able to try to answer any questions that are out there.
You know, maybe after the workshop, we'll need to revisit this issue and see what the outcome of that workshop is. And when questions are more detailed questions are perhaps asked of our deputy prosecuting attorney, Bill Wilson, who's the author of this document, that we can revisit this. We're going to take a break right now. That's it for ARPA, everybody. Thanks for joining in with us. We have a lot more coming your way. Don't go anyplace. We're still on the air. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They carry the reliable DECA line of batteries, and they now stock Instachains and the latest in LED light bars. So call Brown's today at 263-4643 or stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC, Certified Master Mechanics, can help keep your equipment on the road all winter long. Open from 7 to 5 weekdays and Saturdays until 1. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
More than a dealership, Findlay is community. And our community is growing. Findlay is proud to announce the Findlay Jeep Superstore is now open. A grand opening is scheduled for the first weekend in April, but you can stop by now and be one of its first customers. The Findlay Jeep Superstore carries all your favorite brands like Warn, Metal Cloak, Factor 55, Tuffy, Yukon Gear, Amp Research, and of course, everything Jeep and Mopar. You also have a unique opportunity during Findlay's President's Day event to order your new Jeep now and be one of the first to take delivery in the Inland Northwest's only Jeep Superstore. Ready to order your perfect Jeep? Talk to a certified Jeep expert today and get your new Jeep just the way you want it. Findlay is also paying top dollar for your trade, paid for or not. For more details about the new Findlay Jeep Superstore, visit Findlay Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Post Falls at the I-90 Autoplex. Or online at finleypostfalls.com.
Hello, this is Scott.
And Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We have 42 years of combined experience and are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse Building, Suite 203. So come on down and see us, or check us out on the web, Albertson Barlow Insurance.
Love at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. It comes in the form of cold, hard cash. In February, we're pulling out all the stops so you can fall in love with winning. Daily hot spins, super progressive jackpots, food and spa specials. Don't you just love it? We're even offering romantic room specials in the Kootenai Falls Lodge. Just $79 midweek and $119 on weekends. And we'll include breakfast. If you love great food, we'll have delicious lunch and dinner specials, including shrimp Louis salads, Polynesian chicken, peanut encrusted cod, or 11-ounce New York steak, just $12 each. That's right, an 11-ounce steak for just $12. And spa lovers can get a complete scalp ritual and signature facial for just $89. Book your romantic Kootenai Casino getaway while availabilities last. Call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenairiverInn.com.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back in. We have got it going on today. What a great conversation with Kendra Martin and Jeff Conley, County Commissioner. Jeff continues with us here in the studio as we change our focus. But I want to give you an announcement that Kendra didn't get a chance to share, and that is there's a County Commissioner's workshop and meeting on February 16th, and that's a Wednesday. That's pretty firm. Maybe
yeah, it'll
be announced.
Yeah.
And then firm is on Friday, February 18th. There's just like a public meeting. The county commissioners will not be there unless they want to be in the audience with them. And so February 18th on Friday at 6 p.m. at the Sandpoint VFW Hall. And that's going to be another community meeting. So you can dig into the details and dig into the weeds with people that are concerned, if not just flat out opposed. All right. Well, as promised, Jeff, we are going to play on the ice rink here for a while, the Sandpoint ice rink. Let's go skating. My first question is, I'm pretty convinced from just what I've read and seen and heard that the sheriff was left out in a pretty significant way in the lead up and the finalization of this ice rink property transfer thing that went on out between the fairgrounds and the sheriff's facilities. How do you see that? Was he left out?
Yes, he was. That's an accurate statement. Sadly enough, sometimes we assume that the word is out and that, you know, that the proper people have been notified that, hey, we're moving ahead with this. If you have comments or if you have a concern, please let us know. Obviously that didn't happen. I mean, for sure, I'm not going to say, oh, we did everything that we needed to do. I think we failed in, not only the sheriff, but probably the prosecutor,
the community.
Well, possibly the community.
Everybody too, yeah. I've talked to, nobody had a clue that this was coming to some kind of, that it even existed.
Right.
And that it was coming to some kind of a final memorandum of understanding of the property for a buck a year. And you know, just everybody was like caught by surprise. And there are tons of people out there, Jeff, that think it was done that way on purpose, that there would be so much community upset at the way the financing went down on this precious, priceless, expensive piece of property, and the decision, and the sheriff's left out. I mean, they think it was done. I just don't even know how to say it without I don't want to insult, but done on the side, on the sly, in the dark a little bit.
Well, obviously, the commissioners don't do anything that's on the sly or right. In the dark of
Thank
night.
Thank you. Thank
in,
you for
in
that.
In the dark of night. I mean,
I was looking for the right words.
We go through a process, and the process always doesn't work. I mean, because obviously, every time we have one of these things come up, we're going through the process, and we think it's, you know, it's in the paper, it's here, it's there. And then people are like, I can't believe you didn't tell us about this.
Yeah,
you know, so
there weren't a lot of community things going on around this. At least that was my thing.
So the lead up to it all, though, is that, you know, Commissioner McDonald had worked on this behind the scenes with the Fair Board, which is what we all do. You know, like I'm over Roden Bridge, I'm over the public defenders, you know, so he interacts with those folks. And there's a reason for that, because otherwise, if two or more commissioners, we have to have public hearing, or I mean public meeting every time. So
announcement, yeah.
And it just becomes
cumbersome.
Too much. So
yeah.
So what happens is we're all doing things behind the scenes. We're all working with people to try to do things to benefit.
I talked to Luke Ahmet, who is he's announced for county commissioner. Mm-hmm. Of course, the filing doesn't occur until the end of February, the first week or so of March. But he indicated that it was his information that $1 per year was a mistake. Somebody made a mistake. I don't know. He didn't define typo or misunderstanding or, And my question to you, was it a mistake? And if so, what was it supposed to be? I mean, what was the deal that was cut?
So it's actually, yeah, $1 a year, but there was a mistake made, and that was that there was supposed to be a 5% surcharge on all activities like ticket sales or something.
That would come to the county.
That's correct, to the fairgrounds, you know, in particular. And then
let's clarify. The fairgrounds?
It's all county money. It's all county money.
But to make the fairgrounds self-sufficient, it all goes to them. Nothing comes back directly to the county.
Well, it's all county money. It's managed by us.
Okay.
Yes, it's to make the fair more self-sufficient and more...
So even that 5% from the proceeds of any ticket sales, et cetera, was not in the memorandum of
that's
understanding.
That's correct. That was a mistake. And then the other part of it is this is a building that would be able to be utilized in off-season for the county to rent out, and that ability would come also back to the county, that money that's raised during that off period. And that's a described off period in the MOU. I won't try to just off the top of my head, but it's there. It's
April,
written.
September, April to September, not that wide.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
What is the facility? It's an ice rink. So if it's not an ice rink, it'll just be a big floor. Are there like walkways that go around for walking? Are there other activities that are designed to be there?
So the way I understand it, and I think I'm pretty spot on, it's concrete floor. So then underneath that's refrigeration. They put water on the concrete floor. So during the off season, it'll be just a concrete floor. The plan
bleachers? Are there bleachers?
There
around?
Will be. That's the plan. So the first plan is about a $4.5 or $4.8 million structure, and bathrooms and stuff like that. Won't have bleachers, won't have concessions, won't have any of that stuff. It'll be just kind of standing around. But as they go, according to the plan that they have put forth, is that it will be built into bleachers, concessions, all kinds of locker rooms and things like that.
Okay, we were late on the last one, so we've got to take another break. We got to do a little business here, do a little ticket sales, so to speak.
Perfect.
So we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Rich from White Cross Pharmacy. We wanted to let you know that we are still providing COVID shots, including the newly authorized booster shot. We also have regular flu shots and the high-dose shot for seniors. COVID clinics can be found at www.idahoprepmod.com. Just hit Find a Clinic and then search for White Cross in location. There you'll find our clinics. If the internet isn't your thing, give us a call to get your shot scheduled. You can find us at whitecrossrx.com. White Cross Pharmacy since 1922.
The Kootenai Valley Sportsmen Association presents their annual Gun and Horn Show this weekend at the Boundary County Fairgrounds in Bonner's Ferry. Buy, sell, trade guns, knives, hides, taxidermy, sporting equipment, and more. Enter your horns for the horn contest Friday 3 to 6 or Saturday 9 to noon. The Gun and Horn Show is Friday, Saturday 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday 9 to 2. Admission is $5 or free with membership sign up. The Gun and Horn Show at the Boundary County Fairgrounds this weekend.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, save time, shop online, and pick up your items at the store or have them delivered to your home. It's easy and convenient. Go to superonefoods.net and select your items. Then set the time to pick up your groceries in one of the reserved parking spaces at the store or have them delivered. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring. Great jobs with some positions starting at $18 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg Sloss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
The Idaho Vandal men are back in the ICC arena for more exciting Big Sky basketball action this week. Thursday at 6, it's a blackout and the Battle of the Domes when the Vandals take on Idaho State. Wear your black. Then Saturday, the Weber State Wildcats are up at 2. Go Vandals!
North Idaho's radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Talking about...
All right, everyone, here we go. We're going to keep it right here at the ice rink because it just seems like I have a lot of questions. I want to let you know that though it hasn't been confirmed, or maybe it has been, but anyway, Sheriff Wheeler is going to be here in 2 weeks. Not next week, that's Sage Dixon. Planning on it the week after that, Sheriff Wheeler. So we're going to dig in to the ice rink in a couple of weeks with him. And we have other issues that I want to talk to the sheriff about. Right now we're talking with Jeff Conley. He's a Bonner County Commissioner. So the thing that a lot of people have asked me in thinking about the ice rink is they want to know, how do we get out of this? Can we back away and just say, look, you know, we don't want to do this with you. They're looking at the Ponderay ice rink. Why aren't we partnering up with them? Why isn't this company partnering up with them? And can we get out of this, Jeff?
Yeah, it has an out clause for sure. Anything like we get into like that would have to have an out clause. And to tell you the truth, I've met with the mayor of Ponderay and the nice folks in Ponderay to try to see if there's some way to partner those two groups. They have different visions that make them probably not as compatible. You know, the nice folks, the Ponderay folks, they want to get right out and just get ice on the ground so they can get skating and playing some hockey and doing some family skating. And the other folks want to go for a bigger picture, you know, a better, bigger, but it's also a lot of money and it's all supposed to be raised by, you know, donations. So
I know I was pretty irritated to think that they got awarded this property, they got this memorandum of understanding and this, and now they're out asking the community to donate to make up the last $4 million or to make up the whole $8 million or...
Well, I think it's to start. It's to get the floor is about $4.5 million. I can't speak for them.
Okay.
I'm trying to be pretty cautious because
okay.
How
did they get awarded
phone?
This and they don't have the money to even get started?
Because
even with such a gift of the property.
So we won't allow it to be mortgaged, so they can't borrow money against the property or anything else. So in the agreement, then they have to have this money in hand before they can start anything. So that kind of protects from getting it partially up
okay.
and then not having the money.
Then failing.
So, you know, there was the agreement wasn't a complete flawed agreement. It just had a couple little glitches in it that needed to be fixed. But
you know, Jeff, you said that there was an out clause to this MOU. Memorandum of understanding does that out clause require the rumors are running all
right,
over
right,
town
right.
on this. Does it require the county to now buy back if we want out, we have to buy it back from them at market value?
So there is one paragraph that talks about market value, and it talks about the county. If the county decides, hey, we don't want to be partners with you anymore, we are going to buy you out, or we're going to cancel this contract. Any improvements that they've made have to be paid for at market.
Or no improvements. What about if it's just still the flat land?
Then there would be nothing if nothing's been done. So then also on the other side of that, on the other paragraph that nobody's telling you about, also says that if they cannot perform or they cannot continue, that the county gets it for free.
Why don't we want this property back and do what the sheriff's plan is for an expanded jail? We've all been into that driver's license place that's like, I don't know what it's like, granny's front porch or something, and a new courthouse because our courthouse is crumbling. Why aren't we going for a law enforcement? I want to say what's a better word, you know, court campus there instead of an ice rink that could be anywhere.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all. You're going to be surprised because I'm going to be saying, yeah, I think that's a great idea, but funding is a problem. I mean, how do you fund a campus like that? That's, to tell you the truth, if we could get out of downtown Spokane with the courthouse, the public defenders, and the prosecutor's office, that would be a win-win.
Yeah,
but
better jail.
How do we do that, and what is the cost of that? I think the cost would be, and I don't know about the better
how
jail.
How about ARPA? Does that stretch
out there?
The
sheriff doesn't like ARPA money, so.
Well, he may come around when he reads this attorney's opinion.
It's possible.
And I just say that almost lighthearted. I in no way am speaking in any way for that. And the sheriff is going to be on his own, and that'll be one of my questions for him. So
we have a lot of needs for that $8 million. Well, actually 800 of it has been spent. We're in a holding pattern. We can pay that back if we need to for the EMS stuff. I think the problem is cost of construction. Number one, I was talking to an engineer firm down in Boise when I was down there last week, and they're like, it's about $500 a square foot and $600 for jail. Yeah. The jail itself.
Jails are so complicated.
Right. The jail itself, though, and the sheriff will tell you this if you ask him, and I think he said it during his update that he gave, that 45 to 65 people that are in that are housed for U.S. Marshals and State of Idaho prisoners. They're not even our prisoners. So, you know, it begs to question, can we do something different? Can we do something better? We looked at a remodel. We've looked at several things. So,
all right. You know what?
That's it.
I just can't believe that the program is over. We have so much more to talk about. So I'm looking forward on my calendar right now, Jeff. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. Getting into the debate with Kendra, I thought that was excellent, very enlightening for all of our listeners to understand some of the issues that you're dealing with and that people who have an opposing opinion that they are thinking and that they're dealing with. So thanks a lot for being here. Everybody, stay tuned. I'll be here next week, hopefully with Sage Dixon. Until then, this is Barbara saying take care and God bless you.
K246 CU, 1450 KBS.